listening to 3CR 855 AM on International Day of People with a Disability.
Hi, I'm Des McIntosh. December the 3rd is International Day of People with Disability. It is important to celebrate this because I think it's time that the government wrote their reports in plain English. I would like to wish everyone listening a happy International Day.
I'm Hanan Abdallah. Don't these people with disabilities because they're able to do anything. Most of the time, if you call up and say, is this place accessible for a person in a wheelchair or is it accessible for a person with a vision impairment or other disabilities, most of the time they would say yes, and most of the time the venue is not accessible because they don't know what accessible is.
I'm Janice Florence, and on International Day of People with Disability, I hope that people have a bit of a think about all of the discrimination that's still in the community against people with disabilities, including the discrimination that's built into inaccessible buildings. To celebrate International Day of People with Disabilities, Weave Movement Theatre in the City of Moreland present Triplicity. Triplicity is a groundbreaking dance physical theatre collaboration between Weave Movement Theatre and three outstanding Melbourne choreographers, Michelle Heaven, Kate Middleweek and Gerard Van Dyke. Weave Movement Theatre is a talented and diverse Melbourne-based dance company comprising performers with and without disability. Weave's work draws on dance, physical theatre, spoken word and off-the-wall humour. Triplicity, the show for next week, comprises three short works exploring elemental forces, journey and regeneration, chance mystery, foolery, claustrophobia and transient intimacy. The dates of the show are the 10th, 11th and 12th of December at 8 p.m. and the venue is the Brunswick Mechanics Institute, corner of Sydney and Glen Lyon Roads, Brunswick. Tickets are $10 and bookings can be made on 9388 1942.
I'm not schizophrenic, I'm just paranoid. So why don't you all go take a Polaroid? I'm manic, and only time will tell if I'm flipped out, brainwashed, and living in my own hell. I'm in a panic, I'm feeling wired and strained. You're shrinking me brain dead, I'm cornered and framed. Why don't you believe me with all the things I say? My brain's hit a meltdown, please tell me who.
Getaway by the Bipolar Bears. Members of Bipolar Bears live with mental illness and are advocates for inclusive performance and music events. You can find out more about the Bipolar Bears at www.mentalhealthmusicnetwork.net. That's www.mentalhealthmusicnetwork.net. You know, the number of TAFE and uni students with a disability has more than doubled in the past 10 years in Australia, but there's still an underrepresentation of people with disabilities in higher education. Research by the Australian Bureau of Statistics shows only 13% of people with a disability achieve a degree, compared with 20% of people without a disability. This is not only a breach of their human right to participate in higher education for its own value, but also makes getting employment more difficult than it is already. The Youth Disability Advocacy Service in Melbourne, YDAS, works alongside young people with disabilities between the ages of 12 and 25 to raise awareness of their rights and on broader social issues affecting young people with disabilities. A critical issue is the need for more funding for personal care assistance to help TAFE and university students with meals and going to the toilet. Rebecca Stewart, Jess and Liz from YDAS spoke to 3CR about the idiocy of a system that will fund note-takers and computers but will not provide basic care necessary to achieve in tertiary education.
Basically, there's legislation such as the DDA or the education standards that should support young people and students in general with disabilities to get on with their education, but some of those pieces of legislation are worded in such a way. For example, the education standards says that unis need to facilitate providing support for students, and rather than saying provide. So it's around the specific wording of some of that policy that kind of allows universities and people to avoid providing the support that students need. So Youth Law, a young person's advocacy and legal organisation, was doing some training around the Victorian Charter of Human Rights, and YDAS was able to work together with them and a number of young people with disabilities on our steering committee who were being personally affected by not being able to access attendance support while they were studying. And we'll just be able to hear a bit more about their experiences now.
That was Rebecca Feldman, Project Officer from the Youth Disability Advisory Service. Joining us now are Liz Ellis, Stuart Minotti and Jess Kapuscinski-Evans, who are all students or former students with disabilities in universities and TAFEs in Victoria. They're here to present a discussion about their experience getting attendance support and why this is an issue for many people with disabilities who require support when studying. Liz, can you start by telling me why is it getting attendance support at TAFE and uni an issue?
Currently, universities and TAFEs fund some types of support for students with disabilities, those that are directly related to the student's study needs, such as note-taking and support in accessing course materials, but that does not include the provision of personal care for those people who don't know, that is, help in the bathroom or meal assistance, which lots of people need in their daily living, and it makes it very, very difficult for them to go about any daily living, and it makes, in particular, going to uni or TAFE very, very difficult. Every other student goes to the toilet whenever they want to, so why students with disabilities wouldn't have the same rights is beyond me. Like, my note-taker can take my jacket off, and they can unpack my bag, but they cannot take me to the toilet, and that is my primary need. I had two very contrasting experiences. When I completed my Bachelor of Social Work in 2007, they were funding my support, but they were doing it outside of their guidelines. In this year, 2009, I completed my Certificate 4 in Training and Assessment. I went back to the TAFE and I was just told, no, that will not be provided. Now, that meant for me, I had to use my own private support, which is limited anyway, and I'm lucky to have, to get someone to come in for 3 hours a day so that I could go to the toilet and I could have lunch. Now, that means disrupting the classroom. It meant missing out on things in the class because you only had an allotted time where you could meet your own needs. And it was incredibly difficult and a challenge in itself. And I, at the moment, don't have any need to go back and study, but it would certainly make me think twice because it added a lot more stress and things to manage than it needed to. I had a teacher that would strangely seem to stop the class when my person walked in, yet she was warned that this person would walk in during the time and, you know, I'd attend to my needs and they would leave after a certain time, and it made me feel like everybody was watching me, everybody was observing me. My class was actually really accepting, but that doesn't take away from what it made me feel like.
Stuart, can I ask you whether you had similar experience at university or TAFE?
No, my experience at Swinburne University was a bit different, to be honest. From like about the start of my Bachelor of Science, Social Science degree, I was just upfront and transparent with the disability liaison officer as far as what my needs were and what I required from them in terms of support. So at the start, I just had a conversation with them and just outlined my needs, and they were very open. They were very willing to provide the support that I need for note-taking, for extra time in exams, and they met every single one of my needs at no cost to me, which was positive for me. It didn't create any stress for me whatsoever, so I was able to go about my studies as per a normal student. It would be nice for people with disabilities to have a similar experience that I had at university. It will create an equal playing field for all these people with disabilities to get the same opportunities that I've had in the employment field, and just to enjoy the experience of interacting with people their own age, just learning from the different classes that they're involved in, and just the general experience of being at university.
Jess, if we can just then turn to you. Was your experience different again?
My experience was, I suppose, similar to Liz in that I'm at Melbourne Uni currently and they won't provide attendant care. Despite the fact that I did approach the DLU at Melbourne Uni and said, look, I need attendant care, they were unwilling to provide that, even though, as Liz said, they are more than happy to provide note takers and sort of extra supports with exams and things like that. I've been lucky enough to get some extra funding from my outside source, which has basically seen me through. I guess one of the things that a sort of a lack of attendant support has meant for me is that I'm restricted in, obviously, when I can, you know, eat and go to the toilet and things like that, as Liz was saying. But also I have a few medications that I need, but sort of randomly, like I can't predict when I'll need to take them. And so because even though I do have some hours of attendant care, it's not enough to cover all of the time that I'm at university. So it means that I'm actually taking preventative medication before my carer leaves each day so that I then won't need to take anything when I only have a note taker. And yeah, I just feel that I shouldn't have to do that and that it's not good for my body, basically.
I really struggle with the fact that when you go to school, particularly public school, you can get access to the majority of funding that you may require. That will vary with a person's disability. But when you go to university in TAFE, it's apparently federal funding and the standards are different. Now, your needs don't change. So I think the interpretation of those guidelines is pretty, one, it's pretty stringent, and two, to me it amounts to discrimination, but it's indirect and inverse discrimination, so it's hard to deal with because it saves them money. But I also think it is important to note, and it's a little bit of controversy, but every academic institution is subject to the same guidelines. When I was doing my first degree, I was told that the only uni that didn't go outside the guidelines at the time was Australian National University in Canberra. And I'm just listening to Stuart's story, and I don't mean to take away from anything that he experienced, but the guidelines were the same. The issue is, at the time, what was happening, and it happened to me as well the first time, they let the existing students finish their courses, and then the new students they brought in, they had to, I suppose, crack down on their rules. Now, that's, I don't know where that's come from, but the fact is, it's come from some department somewhere to all the academic institutions. I don't understand why it has to be so different, and I think it definitely needs to be examined, because I guarantee you that 3 years ago, if I went back to uni or they pulled the support away that they were giving me, I wouldn't have been able to fund it. I did not have, nor should I have to, but I did not have the hours that I do now to manage funding everything else I want to do in my life, you know. I've gradually built that up over 3 years, and I was just lucky that I had enough over the time to manage doing it. But otherwise, we would have had to pay for it privately, and a private booking, I don't have the money for that either, but a private booking is 10 times more expensive than what a unit costs to an organisation.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM on International Day of People with a Disability.
What I'd like to see, what I hope to see in the future in regards to attendance support at University of TAFE is that the supports be available for people with disabilities, that they can cater to their own needs, that they can just have the supports there available to them to use. They don't have to use it, but just to have it there, just to give them peace of mind while they're studying at university, to get the opportunities that they need to develop the life that they want to lead. Victoria has the opportunity to lead university's attendance support. We should be the leading state in regards to offering the best university support in Australia.
Just recently, actually, I heard from an insider source at Melbourne Uni that they spent a few thousand dollars on chairs for officers, for basically the people who run the university. And basically, I feel that this money could have gone towards, well, not just teaching stuff, but also the provision of attendant care. My feeling is that particularly this is the case because the number of people with disabilities at uni is proportionally not that high, and then within that, the number of people who need help with going to the toilet and things like that is even smaller, and certainly for institutions that are well off, I see that funding shouldn't really be a very strong argument against it.
I really picked up on the difference in my third year placement. Because by the end of that, I felt like my needs had more or less been the focus of my supervisor's end of placement interview, rather than my skills as a social worker. And I was quite disappointed by that, and I did take that on very much so, because it doesn't give you a lot of confidence when you are about to go out into the workforce. Finding people that are like you and have had the same experiences can be quite a challenge, because everybody has different needs, and I think that will always be something with funding, is disability seems to be put in one box, but everybody will have different needs. You can't put it in one box because they're varying disabilities for reasons. So I think that whole thought process needs to be revisited and needs to be more holistic than what it is.
Jess, what is WIDAS or the three of you as individuals doing to try and progress this issue about getting attendant care provided more consistently?
One of the things I'm really excited about is sort of working with the student union, which, again, not every university has one, but thankfully Melbourne does, because I think that if the university itself won't provide attendant care, that might be an avenue that we can explore. Broadly, I think WIDAS is basically trying to put together some sort of, I suppose, general document or proposal that shows that this is a human rights issue and that it can be easily and potentially flexibly fixed, you know, with a range of options. So, for instance, we can have note takers that are trained in personal care. We could also just have a lump of money that's given by the university for carers from an agency. With the union, we're looking at having a roving carer, for instance, that can be there for someone if they just need sort of random once-off support. So I think the message is that there are lots of ways of fixing this that are potentially even not horrendously expensive either. So it's just a matter of institutions being willing to be open and flexible and listen to their students.
My advice for students listening to this and they're thinking about going into university is just do your research in terms of the supports that they provide students with disabilities. And just feel free to ask any questions. Organise a meeting with the DLU and just outline your needs and see whether they can provide for them, whether there can be any arrangements made to meet those needs. Try and be open and honest with them as possible. And if they can't provide for those needs, but the courses are available in other universities, then go for the ones that will offer the most support to you. Just shop around.
I suppose with the current legislation the way it is, no universities will actually provide attendant care officially. Some may be willing to bend and sort of do it, I suppose, hush-hushed, so to speak. So I guess my advice would be to look at all the options that exist for getting your supports if that means going outside the university. And I guess really just if there's something that you need, don't sort of let people tell you that you can't have it, because there will always be a way of getting what you want.
What I did want to say to people is don't let what we've alluded to and told you discourage you from experiencing what lots of other people do and educating yourself and pursuing your own interests, because that is, at the end of the day, you've got to sort out lots of other things around it, but that is the most important thing, that everybody gets to experience their education and achieve what they would like with it. And that's what you have to focus on in the long run. I work as a strategic project officer currently, as well as some voluntary work. I love it at the moment. I got my job through my second university placement, and it's great that I can say, like many other people do, that I got my job through my placement.
I'm currently working full-time, and I firmly believe that if I didn't have the supports at university, that I would never have got the opportunity or to just experience the graduate program that I'm in currently. So don't let your disability or anyone else stop you. Build a bridge and get over it, you know what I mean?
I'm still going with my degree, and I'm going to be going for a long time because I'm studying part-time. I guess what I'm really getting out of university is student theatre, so I would actually encourage people to get involved in the extracurricular stuff on campus, because it makes studying all the more bearable, and I actually really want to direct and write theatre for the rest of my life, so I hope that that experience will give me further opportunities.
If there are any young people with disabilities listening who'd like to get some help speaking up on an issue, or if you know a young person who you think would benefit from some advocacy, you can call or email us. Our contact details are on our website at www.wiidas.org. ydas.org. Even if you're not sure if we can help you with an issue, give us a call anyway.
That was Rebecca Stewart, Jess and Liz from the Youth Disability Advocacy Service calling for the right to more attendant care support in TAFE and unis. If you'd like further information on YDAS, go to www.ydas.org. That is www.ydas.org.
That's right, people. We are people just like you. We are somebody. We are people with hopes and dreams. We are individuals. We are not there to be judged by what we look like and what we wear. We are people, man. Personalities. Just like you, man. How I feel, what is real, who I am.
I want the world to see me, yeah.
Show the world who I am. Show myself who I am.
That made me feel happy.
How I feel, what is real, who I am.
I like to do singing.
Show the world who I am. Show myself who I am.
My name is Alex. I'm a person with a disability. I'm a self-advocate and I'm proud of it. And on this day, the 3rd of December, which is International Day of People with Disability, I'm calling on all people with disability, especially those with an intellectual disability, to stand up and be counted.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM celebrating International Day of People with Disabilities. Hi, I'm Denise Allen, former State Member of Parliament, and I have a mobility impairment. So, listeners, I challenge you to name any Member of Parliament, any local council or that has a disability in your area, in your local government area or in your electorate. On International Day of People with Disabilities, I would like to emphasise the importance of people with disabilities being involved in the political process.
Hi, folks. My name is Amanda Hisco and I'm going to give you all out there vital but very important message. For people with disabilities all around the world to have their say and be able to stand up for their rights and also should be given a try at new skills and knowledge, and we're all out there and we've got abilities to do things in the all we need is people to take off their horse class and see us. It's people first and ability second and disability third. We want to be respected on that line of thing I've given, and a happy International Day for all you guys out there. Bye.
I don't want you at home anymore.
I want to go to work so I don't have to be poor. I want a gig with my band on the Portland shore.
The world will find.
I want to be free. Is that a crime?
Turn up your radio. I got something to say. Turn up the radio. Turn up the radio. I want a revolution. And I want it today. I want a revolution. I want a revolution. Turn up your radio. I got something to say. Turn up the radio. Turn up the radio.
Turn Up Your Radio, 3CR's theme for the International Day of People with Disabilities by Joy Bell and the Travoltas. You can also see their video at www.clubwild.com/Portland. Next up on 3CR is Talkback with Disability Attitude. Studio guests are Kerry Presser, State Manager for National Disability Services Victoria, Denise Allen, former state MP, and Adam Jones, volunteer solicitor. They're here to talk about experiences of disability, identity and exclusion, and what's got to change for people with disabilities. If you've got an opinion and you want to have your say, call 3CR now on 94190155, that's 94190155, and talk back on disability and turn up your radio. We've got something to say.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.